And my Bible is
the Word of God.
And God's Word
is devil destruction power.
With my Bible,
I can defeat the devil
every day.
This is my Bible.
And my Bible is
the Word of God.
Whatever it says I am,
that's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do, the opportunity we have to hear your word, preach your word, and teach it. I hear a lot of talking when we're supposed to be praying. This is the time, listen folks, this is the time when we're supposed to be teaching you the word of God. Pastor Kristen just got up here and told you how the devil tries to distract you. And what do you do but yield to that? Now let's focus on the teaching of God's word, please. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Father, we give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Children, you are going to have to learn to be quiet. Stop giving your parents a hard time.
If I forget it, we'll take that out. The way your sweater will go to something. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Now I need your complete attention. So, because so many of us have so many problems. That doesn't mean everybody goes, okay? Only the children.
Only the children.
Some of you teenagers, you need to stay in here and hear what the Word of God has to say to you. Yes, Pastor Christopher, bring the teenagers back in here.
Uh-huh.
Bring the teenagers back in here. If you need one to help you, that's fine. But bring the rest of them need to get back in here. We don't come to church to be playing around. For the rest of us, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'm waiting for all the distractions to stop. That's all right. All right, Matthew chapter 6. We have been teaching a series on worship, and we stopped at the second lesson, and I thought I was going to teach it last week, but the Lord showed me, it gave me a different direction. I thought I was going to teach it again this week, and the Lord gave me another different direction. And today we're going to talk a little bit about fasting today. We'll get back to that worship series soon enough. But right now, we need to deal with the subject of fasting. Praise God. And because this Wednesday we're going to be doing a small fast just this Wednesday, and that's just for preparation for what God has this church as a local body we're going to be doing. I don't know how many of you were here 2 years ago when we did a very long fast, but I really believe we saw God do more things and greater things. And we saw a significant growth in numbers here, which has dwindled since then. And I'm sad to say. But we believe that God would do great things if we would be willing to sacrifice some things in our own lives. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And we've got to learn discipline. We've got to learn sacrifice. I just have a difficult time understanding why people find it so difficult to do things that God will require them to do when they claim that they love the Lord. If you truly love God, then you'll be willing to make some sacrifices. You'll be willing to give up some things. Let me tell you something. You can't give up anything for God that He wouldn't give you back in greater and better ways. Praise God. Giving up a meal or two or five or several days of meals may seem difficult. But let me tell you, God will bless you if you will just take the time to just do that for Him. And I want you to understand, and I'm going to show you from the scriptures, that sometimes giving up a few meals will bring you greater and better rewards than you would ever have had if you did not give those things up. Praise God. As somebody who has been doing this for over 25, almost 26 years now, I mean, when I first got saved, I didn't know hardly anything about the Bible. Didn't know much about fasting. All I did was read the Bible and saw that that the Bible promised there were certain things that could happen for you if you fasted and prayed. And I just decided I'd just start giving up some meals. And I mean, I'm telling you, it was difficult for me at first. I remember the first time I tried to do it, the very first time, it was maybe only about 2 or 3 months after I had given my life to Christ. And I, in the first morning I gave up, I said, I'm not eating no food for the whole day until tomorrow. I gave it up, got home, I said, I'm going to go home for lunchtime and pray. I went home and forgot to tell my wife that I was fasting. Or I figured I wasn't supposed to tell her. And she was cooking. It smelled good. I ate. But God honored my efforts. Praise God. And I did not give up. I said, okay, I messed up this time. I'm going to do this again. And I kept at it. And I kept at it until I could fast for a day. And then I kept at it until I could fast for more than a day. I kept at it until I could fast for several days. So I kept at it until I learned the art of fasting. Praise God. And when I saw, and that was when God began to reveal things to me. He began to reveal the call that He had placed on my life and things like that. And He just began doing things in my life, and I became a stronger Christian. Things that bondages that were in my life began to be broken. Praise God. Amen. I mean, you know, because I can, you know, all of us come to Christianity with some baggage. That's why we needed Jesus. Mm-hmm. And everything doesn't disappear right away. You know, for me, I got saved and I decided I just wasn't going to cuss no more. Until somebody made me mad, then I started cussing. So it took a little while for that to break. Line had to be broken off of me, things like that. But there were certain things that left me right away. For example, I remember, you know, thank God the children aren't here. You know, I had a problem with pornography. And I mean, you know, I remember when I came from Japan, I had stacks of of these, they're called Players magazines, African American women, anyway. And I had a whole stack of them. And they came with me from Japan, and then when we moved into my house and I saw them, and they were sitting in a stack, and the Lord told me right away, throw those away. The first thing that thought came to my mind was, can I just look at them one more time? The Lord said, throw them away. So I took them, and I should have burnt them, but I threw them in the trash can. I hope nobody else got to them. I didn't know better back then, but I got rid of those things. So those things was broken off of me. You know, as I began to serve the Lord, praise God. Amen. And if you learn the art of fasting, you will begin to see things happen in your life. That's individual fasting is powerful because God will begin to work things in your particular life. But corporate fasting is even more powerful. I'm going to show you that in a moment. But look at Matthew chapter 6. Let's begin at verse 17. begin at verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, say when.
When.
Say when.
When.
I want you to see the word when is telling you that this is not a suggestion. Say this with me. Say this.
This
is not,
not
a suggestion.
This
is
a command.
Amen. See, when Jesus said, when you fast, he didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. That means Jesus is expecting you and I to fast.
Yes. Amen. Yes, amen.
So he says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, many times we take that scripture and we say, well, you know, I'm not supposed to tell anybody I'm fasting. That's not necessarily the point. Jesus is saying that don't go around, you know, trying to make yourself look all holy and pious. What's going on, man? I'm fasting for the Lord. Pray with me. You know, I mean, but basically don't be going around bragging about yourself. I'm so spiritual because I fast all the time. Now, you know, of course, if I'm going on a fast, I got to tell my wife so that we could abstain from certain things, you know, certain pleasures, including food and things like that. So fasting, I have to, if I'm fasting for a person, I'm going to share that with them, let them know that I'm fasting for you and I'm praying for you and things like that. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So you should share it. But the thing is, you don't go around bragging about how many days you fasted and, you know, what a great, wonderful person I am because I fasted. That's what Jesus is talking about here. When you do that, you got the reward. What kind of reward is that? For everybody to pat you on the back and say, oh, Lynn, what a great job you doing, girl, fasting. Man, you are so super hyper spiritual. I wish I could be like you. Man, that's a lousy reward. How long is that going to last? For about a day. Until you say something, you look at them the wrong way, then they talking about you like a dog.
Well.
See, I don't care about the rewards that the pats on the back and stuff like that from men. I want my pats on the back to come from Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You don't sit there bragging, trying to tell everybody how great and spiritual you are. You simply do it for the Lord. But if you got to share it, you share it, but you share it in the most pious and humble way. Praise God.
Amen.
It says, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And look at this. Ooh, I love this. And thy Father. Now look at this. Look at this. Look at this. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. God gives open, tangible rewards for fasting. Do you know that? Let me tell you something. If Jesus said that he will reward you openly, that means he's going to do something that in your life that everybody's going to be able to see. Praise God. Some of you are probably limp, you know, you might have a limp in your walk and you need God to heal you or whatever. And you're fasting. And God heals you. That's an open reward, praise God.
Amen.
Some of you are needing a job and you're fasting. You prayed, you made your confessions of faith, you've done everything that the Bible teachers told you to do, and ain't nothing happened yet. And then you decided, well, let me go on a fast. And you fasted, and God blessed you. That is an open, tangible reward that God has given you for fasting. Praise God.
Praise God.
So God is willing to give you not just wonderful spiritual feelings that you're going to get from fasting. And you'll get those. I mean, there's something about fasting that gives you a stronger presence of the Lord. Yeah. That you just really sense Him. But that's not an open reward. Amen?
Amen.
That's an invisible reward. Yes, you know it, but not everybody else will know that God's presence is so strong on you. It's when You, when God begins to really answer the thing that you've been asking for, when he really blesses you with the thing you're desiring from him, that's an open, tangible reward. Praise God. He will reward you openly for fasting. So fasting, for some reason, and I've never been able to explain it yet, seems to add power to prayer. It seems to add an extra boost to prayer that is not there if you just pray by yourself. Mm-hmm. See, here's the problem. A lot, too many people, they pray, they claim the promises of God concerning prayer. Well, you know, the Bible says that if I ask anything in his name, he said he will do it. And they claim that promise. They claim all these different promises, and they don't seem to get the answers they deserve. And then somebody says, well, it must not have been the will of God. Baby, don't give up. There are some things that I know that we pray about that's not the will of God. I know I pray for some things. I'm so glad that God said no to them as I look back. I mean, there were some jobs I wanted that God said no, slammed the door in my face. Thank God for that. Praise God. If it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't be here right now. I'd probably be unemployed because some of those jobs were contracted jobs that was making a lot of money, but sooner or later, they were going to lose their contract. And I would be what they call broke. I don't like being broke. How about you? I've been broke before. It ain't fun. So I thank God that God has said no on some things. But there's some things that are clearly God's will for you, that God clearly wants to do for you, and you should not be accepting no for an answer. What you should be doing, if it's not happening, you know this is God's will for you, and you know it don't seem to be working, then you need to go a little extra step. See, sometimes I believe that God wants you to fast because he needs to know how badly do you want him to do that thing. Amen?
Amen.
Some of us, we don't know, we don't seem to want to fight for what we really want. We need to learn to fight for what we want. If you got a man that you're staying with, you want that man to marry you, and he just says, he seems to be stubborn, fast. God knows how to get a hold of people. You got people in your life, there's a group of people that are Hindus or whatever, and you've been trying to win them to the Lord, and you go, and they call you up in the morning and tell you that, oh, we're not coming to church today. You know what you need to do? Fast for them. Don't give up on them. I'm telling you, sometimes we really want to give up on people. But if you know that people are in bondage, you love them, you care about them, you need to learn the secret of fasting. Praise God.
Amen.
God will break the power of the devil in many areas through fasting that he would not have normally done otherwise. God will give an open, tangible reward. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58. In Isaiah chapter 58, we learn that sometimes prayer receives answers only when fasting is added to it. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58 is right after the Song of Solomon. Now here in Isaiah chapter 58, we learn, just like Jesus was teaching about the wrong motives and right motives for fasting, Isaiah 58 also teaches that there are wrong motives and right motives for fasting. There are some people that fast for the wrong reasons. You know that? Some people fast so even Satan worshippers fast.
Yeah.
You know that? Satan worshippers fast. They fast to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And they're often successful.
Yeah.
You need to be fasting for the right thing. And some of these Israelites were fasting for the wrong reasons. They were fasting for demonic reasons. Mm. And God says right here in verse 4, look at verse 3. Now they're asking a question. They're complaining to God. And God says, wherefore have we fasted? Say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. In other words, you can't be fasting and sinning at the same time. You can't be fasting and living in sin, in outright sin. Behold, ye fast for strife. Ain't that something? Starving yourself just to cause strife. Ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Look, people fast for the wrong reasons. The one reason we want to fast is, I want you to see this, is so that our voice is to be heard on high.
Hallelujah.
Say this with me. Say, I am fasting.
I am fasting.
For my voice.
For my voice.
To be heard.
To be heard.
On high.
On high.
So if you really want your voice to be heard on high, that's the one reason why you want to fast. It seems for some reason you can get more of the ear of God when you have gone hungry for a while than you would picking out and then praying. Oh, help me. Oh. Verse 5, it says, is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Look at this. To loose the bands of wickedness. Man, God says that fasting can bring deliverance. Say that with me. Say, fasting
can bring
deliverance. That's one of the things fasting can do, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens. Are you burdened? Are you spiritually burdened? Are you physically burdened? Fasting can loose, can undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. And that ye, break every yoke. Say fasting.
Fasting.
Brings deliverance. Oh man, I love it. I love it. Man, this is worse. This is work on missing a few meals. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Say this with me. Say, fasting.
Fasting.
Break the power of selfishness. Oh, when you start fasting and God gets a hold of you, then you want to do more things for more people. Praise God. You want to do something for somebody besides yourself. We are too caught up in me. Oh, me. I need this. I'm going to church because I need God to help me. We need to be doing things. We need to be start thinking about others. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, it's unimaginable, and it astounds me when I find out how many people actually get into ministry, including pastoral ministry, because of them. Because I want to build a great ministry. I want my own little kingdom. I want to do this. I want to do that. Let me tell you something, baby. Pastor Troy is not in it for him. If God did not speak to me, and my wife will tell you, if God did not speak to me to do this, I would quit today. I would quit today. The only reason why I'm here, for two reasons. I love God, and I love y'all. I love God, and I love all of you. If it wasn't for those two reasons, if one of them was gone, if I just loved you and didn't love God, I'd quit. If I loved God but didn't love you, which is impossible because God says I can't love God and not love my labor. But I love all of you, and I love God. And so I continue this ministry. I'm always thinking about you. I'm always thinking about how can I help these people? How can I move them further spiritually? How can I make them progress? That's why I go out and look for books like these. And that's why I do the writings and the things that I do. And I study. I can study just for myself, just to get myself built up. But I study not just for myself, but for you. Fasting breaks the power of selfishness in your life. You find yourself dealing selfish all the time, always concerned about you. Begin to fast. God will break that over you. Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, look at this. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health. Say health.
Health.
Say health.
Health.
God can, you can get healed. You can get divine health by fasting. and thine help shall spring forth speedily.
Woo!
Say speedily.
Speedily.
You can get healed by somebody praying for you. You can get healed by claiming the word of God. You can get healed faster by fasting. Say faster.
Faster.
By fasting. You can get healed faster by, but maybe that's why it's called a fast, because you get prayers answered faster. Praise God. Glory to God. It says, then thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. See, that's talking about the presence of God with you. Man, you get a tangible sense of God's presence. Some of y'all say, well, I don't sense God being with me. I don't feel him. I can't hear from him. Baby, you need to fast. Skip a few meals. You'll start seeing, you may feel hunger pains, but you'll feel the presence of God. I tell you, I trade food for the presence of God. I love God's presence. Amen. Oh, I love his presence, man. I tell you, when I've gone a long time without a tangible sense of his presence, I always know he's always with me because he promised that. But when I don't have a tangible sense of his presence for a long time, man, I tell you, it drives me. It brings me down. It makes me want to be depressed. I tell you, I thank God. That's why I get the fasting, so I can have more of a sense of his presence with me. Praise God.
Amen.
And look at verse 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. Oh, glory to God. Fasting brings answers to prayer. God said that if you fast, you will call, and he will answer. He will give you a yes answer. Say yes answer.
Yes answer.
You can get a yes answer from God when you're fasting. And thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Oh, I tell you, I don't like it when I cry out to God and I don't hear that. I want to hear him say, here I am. What do you want, Troy? What's going on, man? How can I help you? Glory to God. I want you to turn to Joel. The book of Joel, it's one of the minor prophets. I know most of you don't read the prophets that often, so I'm going to give you a few moments. It's not one of our books that we turn to too often. Joel chapter 2. In Joel, I want you to see how these answers to prayer and fasting are applied corporately to a corporate setting. When I say corporately, I mean more than one person fasting. Oh, I love it. I tell you, I love it. Man, if you really believe your Bible, if you really and truly believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and you believe these promises of God, you should want to take some time to sacrifice. Let me tell you something. If you were an Olympian, and you wanted a gold medal, don't you think you would do the sacrifice that it takes? Those guys who go up there for the Olympics, y'all, some of y'all who like the Olympics, I don't watch none of that stuff. You know, nothing wrong with it, I just don't watch it. I'm just not a big sports fan. But some of you who do, you see these guys, they running or they're doing their jumping or whatever have you, or they're ice skating, and they get all these gold medals. Let me tell you something. They didn't just wake up one morning and say, I think I'm going to go into the Olympics and then got all that stuff. No, they sacrificed. They had to put off certain foods. They had to put away the Twinkies and the yo-yos. They had to put away grandma's sweet, delicious bread pudding. And they had to exercise and work out and discipline themselves. They had to go without many of the pleasures in life because they wanted something. Praise God.
Amen.
They wanted something different bad enough. They wanted the glory. They wanted that gold medal. You, if you truly believe the Word of God, and you truly believe these promises, and you don't see them manifested in your life, you don't see prayers being answered in your life, then maybe you need to say to yourself, how badly do I want God to do things in my life? And then you need to say, am I willing to pay the price? Praise God.
Amen.
You know, it's like me and my wife, we've been looking for a house. We've been looking for a house for a long time. We've been trying to find a bigger house. And the prices of houses here in Rhode Island are exorbitant. I'm just not willing. There's some houses I've seen that I like, but I have been unwilling to pay the price for them. Praise God. I've been unwilling to pay the price for the taxes, the price, the interest on the mortgages. And we've been, you know, my wife, we've been pre-approved for a mortgage. But I have just been unwilling to pay the price for these houses. Praise God. But if I wanted that house bad enough, I would pay the price. Praise God. Now I have a, on the other hand, I have a minivan outside that cost me a good chunk of money. But you know what? I wanted the minivan bad enough that I was willing to do what?
Pay the price.
So if you want a minivan like I got, nice shiny white caravan minivan, but if you're not willing to pay the price that I'm paying for, you ain't gonna get it, amen? You can look at it all you want, slobber over it and say, oh man, I sure wish I had a minivan like Pastor Troy. Get some of y'all looking at me like, you're crazy. I'm just using this as an illustration, okay? You can sit there and slobber over my minivan all you want. But you know what? Until you are willing to pay the price that I'm paying for it, you won't get it. Amen?
Amen.
It's like I love to see those Mercedes-Benz commercials on TV. I love them. But you know, when I see the price tag, $799 a month, I'm like, man, that's a house payment. Forget that. I'm not willing to pay the price. Praise God. But if I wanted one bad enough, I would pay the price. Praise God.
Yeah.
So you need to learn that if you want it bad enough, you must pay the price. Let's look at a couple of scriptures real quick. And Joel chapter 2, God is speaking through the prophet Joel, and he tells them that they need to call for a fast. Verse 12 says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. God says to turn to him with fasting. Amen?
Amen.
Now skip down to verse 19 for the sake of time. I wish we could read the whole thing, but we can't. But look at verse 16 real quick. Gather the people. That's what we're doing right now. I'm gathering y'all together. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride of her closet. Praise God. So this is talking about congregational fasting. Say congregational.
Congregational.
Fasting.
Fasting.
How many of y'all believe in this ministry? How many of y'all believe in Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship? You can be, I'll tell you what, I'll turn around. How many of y'all believe in Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship? I'm not saying that Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship takes the place of God, but how many of y'all believe that God actually raised up this particular ministry, this particular local body? I'm not looking at anybody, so my next statement is not aimed at anybody. If you didn't raise your hand, you shouldn't be here. I'm serious. Oh, yes. I'm like any other pastor, I would love a crowd, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't believe that God raised this ministry up, you should not come back next Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
You should be at a church where God, that you know for a fact God raised up that ministry. And that pastor is God's appointed man of God. Or those elders in that church. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, if you do believe that God has raised up this ministry, and if you do believe that God has called you to be a part of this ministry, then I need you to be a part of the sacrifice that we need to make here. Praise God.
Yes.
Amen.
Which means that you need to be fasting along with your pastors. Praise God. It should not just be me and Pastor Christic and our family and Elder Steve and his family doing all the fasting and praying. We've tried that already. I've tried doing all the fasting by myself. I said, I don't want to put burdens on the people. Let me just fast. And the Lord has been showing me lately that you are doing it the wrong way. Because I'm willing to fast. But I'm not, but I hate this, you know, trying to tell y'all to do stuff and then y'all get all mad at y'all. I ain't going to that church no more. They make you fast too much. Well, you know what? Glory to God. If you truly believe in what God is having us to do, now I'm not going to call your house. Listen to me. I'm not a dictator, okay? I got enough problems in my life. I can't be checking up on you all the time. So I'm not going to be calling your house and saying, are you fasting? Sister Martha, we called for a fast today. Are you fasting? I'm not going to do that to Sister Martha or anything, all right? I am going to teach you the Word of God. I'm going to make the declarations, ask the church to do certain things, and it's up to you. It's between you and your Father in heaven whether you do this or not. Amen? But I'm going to show you that not only do you get blessings in your individual life, but God's work goes forward and goes stronger. See, many of you sit here and blame me for not having a foot because we didn't have a building yet. Yes, it is partly my fault. It is partly my fault that we're still in this daycare. But you know what? It's partly yours too. Because you're not fasting along, you're not fasting and praying along with your pastor. Amen?
Amen.
If you see your pastor, things don't seem to be going right for your pastor. You see things ain't going the way things that we proclaim many of God's promises. We told you that God has told us that it's going to be that we're going to be like rabbits and we're going to multiply. We told you that this year we're going to see an explosion of growth. But if you're not seeing that, don't sit there and keep looking at me as if I'm the only one responsible for this. God says that we are all in this together. You know what? God's going to judge all of us. God's going to say, I sent you to that church. And you were supposed to be praying along with that pastor. And yet you sat there and you accused him. And you blamed him. That's what God's going to do. Trust me. You don't want to find out later. So I'm telling you that you need to take what I'm telling you and apply it to your life and let's fast together. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Let's pray together. Verse 19 says, yay! Oh, I love verse 19. This is the result of fasting. Yay! The Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army. God will bring deliverance. Say, God will bring deliverance. Oh, fasting brings answers to prayer. Fasting brings deliverance. And you should understand that God will bring deliverance to you as an individual. And to the strongholds that is trying to keep this ministry from progressing towards the goals that God has given us. Praise God. I mean, let me tell you something. It should never, I don't care what anybody says, it should never happen that somebody in our congregation should die the way that Ann did. It should never happen. Somebody in my under my watch dies like that. The way they died, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to keep putting up with it. We have got to take a stand. Praise God. We have got to pray. We've got to cry out to our God. We've got to find out what is holding us, what is hindering us, what is keeping us from going forward. And sometimes it's going to take the extra power boost called fasting. Praise God.
Amen.
And I've declared that there will be no more deaths. I will not preach another funeral for a long time unless you get old. Amen?
Amen.
I only want to preach funerals for old people who are really old, who died in the hands of the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
I don't want to preach no more funerals where people get murdered. Amen? I'm sorry I'm so frank and straightforward, but y'all know me by now. I'm not going to hold back. I love you too much for that. We've got to take a stand in the spirit, and we need to fast in order to do that. Oh, I wish I could show you some of the rest of the scriptures. I had so many scriptures and illustrations for you, but my time is far spent. But listen, Jonah and Nineveh is a good example of what fasting will do. God was about to destroy that nation. God told Jonah, y'all know the story of Jonah. You've been hearing it since you were kids. Some of you watched the cartoons on TV even if you didn't go to church. You heard the story of Jonah, how he was, how God told him to go preach to Nineveh and he didn't want to. And you can't much blame him if you understand the background of history. But he tried to run away from God. God had a fish swallow him up. And then after he repented, God had the fish spit him out. Can't tell me God ain't got a sense of humor. But he spit the fish. And then Jonah went through Nineveh, preaching to him, and he told him, with no conditions, he said, 3 days, God will destroy this place. 3 days. And I mean, I bet you Jonah was sitting there saying, oh, I hope they don't repent. I hope they don't repent. I want God to destroy this place. And he just went through that preaching. But the king of Nineveh had enough sense to say, hey, we don't want to fall into the hands. It's dangerous to fall into the hands of the living God. So he called all the people and he told them, let's fast. Don't nobody touch anything. Don't even feed your goldfish. And they fasted and God saw it and he turned away his wrath. God changed his mind. Glory to God. You can have a verdict against you, but God can change his mind about it if you fast. Paul is another good example. He was on a ship. He told the guys, he said, listen, we better not take off from the ship. He said, I think there's danger and we're going to lose our lives. And the guy said, oh, that's just a religious fanatic. Don't even listen to him. And so they went on the ship anyway. A storm came and it really rocked their boat. And they were about to be destroyed. But you know what Paul did? Paul fasted. And then he said, after he had fasted and prayed, he said, the angel of the Lord came to me and he told me that he will save the ship. Even though you guys deserve to die. But he will save us. I mean, he will save us, but the ship will be destroyed. And they would have died if Paul hadn't fasted. Amen? Paul had a destiny he was supposed to reach. But he was still, if he hadn't fasted, he would never have met his destiny. Paul was supposed to go and stand before Caesar himself. But Paul would have still died and never have reached the goal and destiny that God had given him if he had not fasted. Fasting, see, you may have received promises from God personally. You know, some of you have been in Christianity long enough and you have people prophesy to you and share things with you, tell you things about your life that God's going to do in the future, and you haven't seen it yet. And you wonder why. You say, well, God said that he was going to do this. How come it's not happening? Maybe sometimes we need to fast. Amen? Some people die without ever seeing the fulfillment of what God said that he would do in their lives. And we wonder, and we say, well, if God promised it, how come it's not happening? Because there is a part for you and I to play in this. God is almighty. He's all powerful. But he has simply established some things, and because he has established those certain things, he will not violate his own word just for you. Amen? Mm-hmm. He will not be called a liar and a hypocrite just to help you out or help me out. He has said, you're going to do this, and then I'll do it for you. And many times, that requires us abstaining from a few meals. I tell you, I want to see God's blessings in my life. I want to see the destiny God has for me. I know I have not even come close to reaching the things that God wants me to do. And I am going to go forward, and I'm going to do what it takes. You willing to do that with me? If you are, then God bless you. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet.